Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Well, we did get away this weekend, and is there something I'm doing? Do I need to move? We good? Yeah. What is it? Is it me? Oh, is it? Oh, you're the guy. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong guy. So we did get away this weekend, and God just met us. There's sometimes when you can come into the presence expectant, and not necessarily with expectations that He has to do something, but you're just expecting. You're expectant. Do y'all understand the difference? I'm just expecting that God's going to meet me. I'm not putting expectations that He has to do certain things and He's like a genie in the bottle. He's got to do what I'm telling Him, but I'm just expecting God. And man, did He meet the hunger level that many of us had. It was so refreshing. It was so good to just linger. Our opening session went for about 3.5 hours. Or 4 hours. Well, maybe it was more like 4 hours. And we had built on there, if you want to see the sunset, it's at 9:15, but we didn't get out till about 11. We missed the sunset, but we were more close to the sunrise the next morning. There was something, it's like the air was pregnant. It was like, man, there is this life that's about to come forth. There was this energy that was happening. Sunday mornings at 9:45, we meet right here for 30 minutes before the service. Can you please be here for that? Just want to encourage you, be here. We're meeting for prayer. We're going after the presence with expectant hearts. God is meeting hunger levels. You know what it was like whenever you were around your grandma, that whenever she was around hungry bodies, she just kept making more food. And more food, and there's more food, and there's a way to live full but hungry. And I just really feel like God's inviting us to go deeper into this. And I'll tell you, the hunger levels that are being seen are on some people that are just freshly starting to join the church. And I say just joining the church in the last few years compared to those that perhaps have been here for 150 years. I don't know if you've been here that long. But there really is some hunger levels, and I don't want anyone to miss out and to say, well, I've kind of done it this way. This is the way I've always done it. I'll tell you, God is always the same, but He's always new. He never gets old. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But let me tell you something. Even though He's never changed, you haven't tapped out God. It's not like, well, I got nothing left. He's always got something fresh and something new. And so let's not live on yesterday's groceries. Let's show up again and again and again with hunger levels. Those who hunger and thirst after the Lord, they will be filled. To the degree that we hunger is to the degree that we'll be full. And if we're just not hungry, then we may go starving. And I just don't think that that's the relationship the Lord wants for His people. That's not the condition that the people ought to live in. The people ought to live full, but hungry. As I was listening to John talk, I'm standing behind John and I'm looking at the back of the heads of our church family. Y'all have beautiful backs of heads. But I looked at the back of the Gross family, and Cindy, I see you as a rose, not between two thorns, but as a rose between two men that God is going to just turn into a beautiful garden bed. Just more. Just right? The whole theme of the weekend was more. And if you resist the idea of more, it means that you've already maxed out God. The arrogance of that. Nah, I don't need more. I've already got it all. No. There's more. JC, I just want to tell you, bro, there's more. Ryan, there is more in store from the Lord that He has for you. And so, we just come into the presence where there's fullness of joy. At his right hand is pleasure forevermore. To the degree that you're hungry, to the degree that you'll be fed, it's like grandma in the kitchen, man. She's just going to continue to make and make and make. I could have just stayed and worshiped the entire time this morning. I didn't want to leave. Y'all remember what it was like whenever you were a teenager and Alexander Graham Bell just created the telephone? Just kidding. Kathy, was that bad? That was bad. Yeah. Was it on a can and with a shoestring? Yeah. But you remember whenever you had that telephone and you just got your boyfriend or your girlfriend and you're like, it's like late at night, it's midnight. You're like, you hang up first. No, you hang up first. No, you hang up first. And there was this energy, you were caught up. You just were in love. There was something where he's like, I don't want to get off this phone. I don't want to leave this moment. And you're like, I got to leave. I got curfew. I got to go. And you're peeling out of there and you're going to beat your old time. You know, it used to take you 15 minutes. I got to make it home in 13 and a half minutes. If I can run through that stop sign, I can make it home in time. Don't act like you were a good kid. You know you did this exact same thing. Love is a motivator to stay. I don't want to leave. Why? Something has ravished my heart in deeper levels. I'm not bored with you. I'm caught up with you. I'm not checking my watch when I'm with you. I can't get it. Throw the clocks away. I just want to stay and be here. I don't want to go home for curfew. I want to stay here. And sometimes lunch is curfew and the crock pot is curfew and whatever else. I've got something else that I would much rather get to. But not when you're in love. When you're in love, you don't ever want to leave. And I felt that this morning. Man, God, you hang up first. No, I'm not hanging up. I just want to stay. John 15, it says that if you would abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit and fruit that will remain. So just stay in me. Maybe we're living some fruitless lives, just things that just aren't producing good stuff. He says, then just stay with me. Hang out right here. Don't leave. Don't hang up. Don't try to make it home for curfew. Just stay with me. Don't move. And so people, we need to create atmospheres in our homes, in our cars, in our workplaces, in the kitchen, in the shower, wherever you are. I'm creating an edifice. I'm creating a greenhouse of the presence and the habitation place of the Lord where really good fruit can grow. If you just stay, you will produce great fruit and fruit that will remain. Henry Scogel said this. He said that the soul should be measured upon the excellencies and the delights that that soul finds enjoyable. Or to something like to the excellencies and the delights of the soul is how we ought to measure the worth of that soul. I wonder, man, do I delight in whatever? Then that would speak to the condition of our soul. I delight in watching the NBA finals, and I'll stay up till midnight to watch that. That speaks to the condition of your soul. Will I stay up late in worship and in prayer and in supplication? Why? Because I'm just so in love, and I'm not getting off the phone because I'm in love. That speaks to the excellency and the condition of that soul. There's just higher things to delight ourselves in, people. There's just higher. And I believe the Lord is inviting us to elevate our game of delight and find something that we can look to the hill and just set our affection, our gaze upon something much higher and much better. Even while we're at work, even while we're raising families, even while we're doing our normal, casual, usual, boring, predictable, everyday lives, He still wants to permeate the atmosphere of that. Here's the quote. The worth and excellency of a soul is to be measured by the object of its love. I want to begin here with my conclusion, because we need to get to it. Since my goal is not to surprise you, but to persuade you to be gripped by a heart that is caught up with something much higher than what we currently experience. So here's the conclusion. You were made in the image of God. You were made with a purpose. You were made with a passion. And you were made for more. You just were. You were made imago Dei. You were made in the image of God to be like God, to feel like God, to delight in God, to live with God, to get a mandate from God, to subdue and to multiply across the earth, to tend and to take care of a garden, whatever your garden is, your town, your community, your family, your home, to tend and to keep and to protect and to be all in on that place. This is the call of God upon our lives. Check this out. This is a mountain picture here. Does anybody know what mountain this is? Yeah, I see. If you went on the retreat, you know, like Tom. This is Mount Everest. Mount Everest is 29,000 feet. In America, we're pretty proud of our 14,000. If you've climbed a 14er, that's a big deal. Take that and then stick another 14er on top of it, and you're still not there. 29,000 feet, Mount Everest. It was discovered in 1852, not climbed until 1953. For 100 years after discovery, no one ascended it. No one even tried to ascend it for 70 years. Just kind of let it sit there and be its deal. There are mountains that we have in our community, in a nation, in our church. These are these pillars, these monster places that you can look to and you think, wow, that is the spot that carries the sway, the influence, the movements of a community. I want to throw out a few mountains that make up a community. The home, the church, schools and education, government and law, media, arts, entertainment, and sports, business, commerce, technology. These are mountains that move a city or a community. As we look to maybe ascend Mount Everest, there is something about what it takes to ascend this mountaintop. And I want to start getting a view of when I live in the presence of the Lord, what then flows out of my life? Because we just don't want to be presence junkies, all right? I just need my next hit. Give me a hit of the presence, all right? And I'll just kind of like stay like wiped out and zoned out my entire life. No. I'm going to get filled up, and then I got to go do something, right? And so when the presence hits me, after presence becomes purpose. And we've got to respond with a calling. It's like, God, I know you're calling me for more. I know I've got to respond with a life that's worthy of the call. So let's look at our community. And I want us to identify one of those Everest mountains and say, you know what? We need to, as a church family, we need to take that mountain. Let's go take the mountain. Let's have a vision for what it looks like to have godly government in our local community. Let's look at what it looks like to have godly education and school systems with teachers that love the Lord, with faculty and administration that loves the Lord and says that all truth is God's truth, and we're going to honor the Lord through how we do education. Sports, recreation, that we would have coaches that love the Lord, that bring prayer into these places, whether it's on the school bus or locker rooms or wherever these places are, that we would have campus ministries going on in our school system where it's student-led Bible studies and prayer. And what that takes is a church family that backs that stuff, a church family that will serve in those areas. Maybe it looks like somebody that's going to run for the school board, town board. Need some more help. All right, come on, Karen. Some people that really have an urgency to see God, we want your presence not only in the four walls of the church, but permeating throughout the streets of our community. Come on, hang with me, people. So here's what Jesus says. The disciples say, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he goes, here's what you want to pray. Let the kingdom come to the earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so we want to make earth look like heaven. There's this man, there's this prophet named Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, he's the cupbearer underneath King Artaxerxes of Persia. King Artaxerxes is the most powerful dude on the planet. It was Rome of its day. He was marching and reigning and ruling over the world. And the cupbearer, the guy that would taste the wine before it came to the king, it was like, hey, you drink all this stuff. Make sure I don't get poisoned, okay? They got to go through you. And he's like, oh, okay, let's get rid of that bottle of wine, all right? So he would sample the best wine all over the world. This guy's drinking it and then serving it to the king. This is who Nehemiah is. Jerusalem falls. Jerusalem gets just ransacked, and the walls of the city are falling down. And Nehemiah has a heart for his hometown. Nehemiah has a passion for the Madison County and the Grant County area. He's got a burden for his home. He's like, he goes to the king and he says, would you release me from my assignment so I can go home and start pouring into my community and rebuild my city? He says, yeah, you're released. You go. He comes in and he takes a look at what's going on. He looks at these walls that are destroyed. Every city back then would build up these walls, these infrastructures, these lines of defense, anywhere and everywhere that they were. Otherwise, if you didn't have walls around your city, you were asking for a butt kicking. So they would build up these monster walls and put up watchmen on the walls to oversee, to protect the house. And these walls had been crumbled down. So Nehemiah goes into a state where he's fasting and praying for 4 months, asking God, God, would you show yourself strong on our behalf? God, would you do something that no one else can do? God, that you need to close doors that no man can open. Do a supernatural thing. And God gives him this master plan. Here's how you reshape your community. Guys, can we move this forward, not just to Nehemiah building a wall, but this is what it looks like to reshape a community. You got to have the business leaders come together. Okay, let's get the mindsets of the educators and let's get them together. Who are the people that run the town and the city? Let's get them together. And Nehemiah starts assembling a team and a squad. I mean, it was better than like the Toon Squad that Jordan played with. I mean, he had the Monstars, right? Nobody, just me. Okay. He started assembling this team and this crew that they were going to go out and we're going to take over this town. And as he begins to build up these walls, God starts showing himself strong. He fasted for 4 months, but he rebuilt the wall in 52 days. Less than half the time it took to rebuild. I'll tell you, there's some rebuilding things that need to happen in our community. Are y'all with me? Where there's thriving business, where there's job opportunity, where there's really good, awesome housing. It's affordable housing for young families to move into, where the city thrives again. Here's what happens when you come into the presence. Be careful. Because when you go into the presence, you get changed. And when you see him as he truly is, God is one that wants to make this place look like heaven. That's his prayer. That's what he wants to do. And so when I see him, I say, oh my gosh, God, you want to do something really, really big. And to be a Christian is not just to show up on Sunday mornings at 10:30. Wow, you want to do something with my life. And you want to rally the people together to rebuild our city. You're going to be hard-pressed to look in the scriptures in the Bible and look about how they try to do church services better. They were after to establish a nation. They're trying to establish cities and their villages and their towns. They're fighting for this thing. They're after a community that would honor and worship the Lord and get rid of their foreign gods and have the one true God. That's the whole scripture battle and wrestle. And many times I got to get those idols out of my own heart. And out of the heart of our community, where we delight in things that have nothing to do with the Lord. That they're so far from him, and I get to the presence, and I see him as he is. And then I want to take that to the streets. I'll tell you, there's going to be a call out. And please answer your phone when I call. To assemble the Nehemiah men and women that want to think and put their hands to the task. To get after something, not just to have church services, but to make this community look like heaven. What if we had unbelievable businesses and prosperity? What if we had a school that just shined in this, on and on and on. A town board that just thought of development, and thought of I get so excited. Churches that are packed with electric and fired up worship music that just honors the Lord. The doors where people are coming in, they can't get enough of who Jesus is. That there's peace and unity in the house and not fighting, but there's just love and affection for one another. Where homes just have a lift, where there's joy in the homes again. Where marriages are thriving. Are y'all with me? Where media and technology are coming into alignment, where media is not just a bunch of just attacking one another, but media is just screaming the glory of God. Don't say that I'm just a dreamer. I'm just one that's been in the presence. Don't judge my hope. Because I'm hoping that we can ascend a mountain and not just look at it from afar and say, well, we'll get to it 100 years from now. No. Let's go take the mountain. Let's ascend this mountain. Here's the deal. Maybe for some of you, you're thinking, Brock, I am so tired. I don't want to go take a mountain. Maybe there's different seasons in life. Maybe there's some young bucks that are like, oh, come on, man, let's go. Maybe for some of you, you're like, oh, just hearing that makes me so tired. You know what? The beauty of a church family is there's all different kinds of seasons of life in here. And the season that's sitting next to you is not the season that's inside of you. And the story that's sitting next to you is not the story that awaits in front of you. And there might be some people that you're like, man, my glory is my strength right now, and I'm ready to go. For some of you, man, my good thing that I have to give is I've got some wisdom and experience. Maybe for others, they're like, I don't want to do it, but I can help fund it, and I'm wanting to back this thing financially. Maybe for some of you, you're thinking, man, I want to reach the community for the glory of the Lord, and here's how I can contribute. I don't know what those things are, but I know that there are some things that are going on inside of you, and the Lord's just saying, you are made in the image of God. You were created for a purpose. You were created with a passion, and you were created for more. Whatever you're currently experiencing, there's more. There's more of the presence. There's more purpose to your life. There's just more. And he's just going to say, come on. I want you to experience more. Maybe it's not that you're going to start anything new, but he just wants you to bring a little bit more to what you're currently doing. He's going to say, you don't have to be in full-time ministry, but where you currently are, how about you just start a prayer group at your job? Hey, guys. Let's all take our lunchtime, and we're going to spend 15 minutes in prayer just asking for revival in this place. Come on, let's just invite the Lord. Let's just invite the presence to come. Maybe for some of you, you're going to start a small group, and you're going to say, hey, I just want to invite people to come over to my house. Or maybe you're, Richard, I was thinking of you. I was thinking, Dick, you can just have Tuesday at 10:30 at the branch, and here's a cup of coffee. We're going to sit around. We're just going to talk about Jesus and what he's doing in our hearts. But there's more. Let's think. Let's put a little bit more mental sweat into thinking through, God, how could you use me for more in this community? How can I radiate some glory? Can we wipe off the shiny veneer of whatever we think pastoral ministry is? It's not staying on a stage. It's pastoring and shepherding a community outside of here. Saying, I want to bring the light and the love. Here's one of my favorite stories. Anybody remember that movie? I don't remember it either. Chariots of Fire. Chariots of Fire. It's about Eric Little. And Eric Little is a Scottish rugby player, international rugby player at the time. And he gets into running track and field. And the Olympics come around, and he's the best that they've got to put into the Olympics. But the problem is the Lord called him for professional ministry to be a missionary to China. And we think, I can only do ministry if I'm a missionary or I'm a pastor. And I want to say, it's not missionary focused, it's mission focused. Disconnect, it's not pastor focused, it's purpose focused. You don't have to be a pastor, just have a purpose. You don't have to be a missionary, just be on mission to bring the kingdom of heaven to the earth. And so he approaches this maiden. And she's so wanting him to come to China with him to be a missionary. But he says, you know what? It's not only just about doing ministry. I can do ministry wherever I am. The Lord has made me fast. And I can go bring him glory in whatever I do. I want to show you this video clip right here to kind of help give us a vision.
I've decided. I'm going back to China. The missionary service have accepted me.
Oh, oh, I'm so pleased.
But I've got a lot of running to do first. Jenny. Jenny, you've got to understand. I believe that God made me for a purpose. For China. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. To give it up would be to hold him in contempt. You were right. It's not just fun. To win is to honor him. Jenny. Jenny.
Come on. So good. He goes, to win is to honor him. What is it that God has gifted you for? What is it to, he said, hey, I'm going to do missions, but God has made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure on my life. And to not run would be to hold him in contempt. Thinking about Skip, and Skip did something pretty amazing. Skip and Shannon, they own Doherty's restaurant and business. They are wanting to just give out of the overflow of who they are to be a blessing, that it's not a business only to make money, although we should run business and make money, but to then be a blessing to others. Or how about if you're a business owner and you say, hey, part of it is not only to teach you a skill, but to develop the character of God inside of you. And so we're going to be intentional to have staff meetings, and I'm going to start teaching you biblical principles. Maybe I don't quote chapter and verse, but I'm going to start slowly leading you on an incline to the relationship of Christ. We just start pivoting the business to be missional. I start pivoting what I'm doing every day. Whenever I go into that grocery store, I'm on a mission. When I go into this gas station, I want to be on a mission. When I come into this restaurant, God, what waitress are you going to bring my way that you're going to start loving on her, and you're going to be intentional to start bringing the kingdom of God to, right? Everywhere we go, we start thinking missional. I'm not thinking about the meal. I'm thinking about the mission. And it just pivots the perspective. It pivots the mindset. And so people, here's how A plus B equals C. We get in the presence. Whenever I get a renewed perspective of the presence, I get a fresh dose of the purpose. Okay, Brock, here's why you're on the planet. Here's why you're here. Jesus said to do the will of the Father, or to do the work of the Father, is my food. It's the fuel. It refreshes me. Whenever I'm doing it, I'm getting after it, man. It just fuels me up. And when we do the stuff, we feel the pleasure of God on our lives. So church family, I want us to do more than just church services. I want us to change a community. God wants to take the earth back. God wants to take our community. God wants to reign and rule in every aspect of our lives. And God wants to do it through you. Amen. Would you all stand with me this morning as we close? I'm serious. I would love to assemble like Nehemiah's men and get the Fairmount men and women to start brainstorming. How can we start doing some revitalization for real and start building the walls to rebuild a community? Join me on this mission. Jesus, we just thank you for high doses of your presence this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you can grip a heart and invite us to more. God, we thank you that you haven't left us where we are, but you're saying, come on, there's more in store. He's inviting us and pulling us in for more. God, I pray for really creative ideas. So maybe there's some people in here, they want to start a discipleship group. There's some people in here that they want to sacrifice one of their evenings to meet one-on-ones. Or maybe they want to start opening up their home. Or they want to have prayer meetings at work. Or they want to start a prayer meeting in their cul-de-sac or in their community. Whatever these things are, God, would you just call us out for more? And we would respond with a yes. Lord, we just pray your presence and your blessing upon our community today. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.